Hey, listeners, welcome to another episode of the Kids Ministry 101 podcast. We are talking today about a hot topic, something that we all feel the pain around and the joy of when it's working well, and that is volunteers, right? We live and die by our teams. Kids Ministry is not a Lone Ranger event. It is something that it takes a team to lead kids and to do ministry well. And I love the picture of the body of Christ, how God, the Lord has gifted each of us differently so that we can come together and serve. And I don't think that's seen anywhere as well as it is within the kids ministry space. And so we're going to be talking today about volunteers, especially in light of our current situation where the coronavirus has set us all back from being able to meet together. And as we look at gathering again, our volunteers may look different. They may be different people. We may have to lead them differently. And so that can cause a lot of stress. So I wanted to bring today to the podcast a friend who knows what it's like to be stressed out.
Amen.
So Danielle Bell from Dawson joins us, minister to children at Dawson. We're so glad to have you here with your pink headphones on.
Oh, thanks. Yes, I'm rocking the pink headphones today. I'm so excited to be here, and I'm so excited that you feel the stress of those of us that are trying to figure this out.
You told us that you didn't want us to anyone to see your pink headphones, and so I just thought I would have to acknowledge them.
Yes, for those of you that need
your daughters.
Yeah, those of you that need the visual, I'm in my little girl's pink headphones because that's the only ones that would plug into my computer. So there you go.
So it's very kidman of you to be wearing a pair of
kid headphones.
Trying
to be so relevant.
So speaking of relevant, let's talk about the stress that we're all feeling. Man, I think a lot of leaders are feeling stressed right now. We started off 15 weeks ago with the stress of, oh no, we can't meet together. How are we going to do ministry remotely or virtually? And so we've attacked that. Then it was, oh no, how are we going to do VBS? Mm-hmm. How are we going to get through it? And I know you've had your own adventure with the VBS that you create at your church. And so many leaders can relate to the stress and the kind of elation, you know, of innovating and coming up with something that works and seeing that happen.
Right.
And now we're in a time where the call is to regather. And some of us as leaders are being said, hey, we're going to be back together in 2 or 3 weeks. And we need you to be ready to lead kids with all the limitations that are imposed upon us and everything. And so part of that being ready to get back together is we need to get our teams ready to be back together. And that may be easier said than done. Is that right?
Oh, Chuck, I mean, even as you just described, like what we're going through this summer, like I could feel it because I was kind of excited at the beginning of this, like, hey, we can innovate, we can do new. And it's like you get through one thing and you deep exhale or you find that what God's called you to do in that season. And you're like, you're rocking and rolling. But then this next unknown comes and it's like this hill again, you know, it's like looking up going, what in the world? So I've been doing this a while and the stress is so real. The stress is so real.
It's like the murder hornets, you know?
Yeah.
So it's not bad enough we have the virus. We have to get the murder hornets too.
Right. And I don't know about you, but I'm an extremist. It's either this or this. And there is so much middle ground here and different information and what is the truth and what do we do? And it's like, I just need the truth for a plan to work on, you know? So it's really difficult.
Well, so one of those difficult truths as we come back together is that many of us, and I don't think that this is a stereotype. I think it's a truth. Many of us rely on older teachers to help us in our kids' ministry.
Absolutely.
A lot of our best volunteers, our most experienced teachers, are folks who would be in a high-risk category during the virus. And so as we begin to talk about getting back together, I know that you have shared that you've been messaging back and forth with some of your leaders, and they're devastated because they don't know that they can be back. Tell us a bit about that, because I think it's something that a lot of us can relate to.
Yeah, Chuck, I always thought I appreciated my volunteers. We call ours investors, but I'm going to tell you, now that we've become like a children's minister and a production studio and everything else to tell the lesson each week, I miss, because all the gifts that they bring that I don't have to the table, like it has been great to look back and go, how blessed are we to have volunteer teams to work with? So yeah, I've gotten a couple emails this week as we are like, hey, you know, like this is when we're thinking about returning, you know, I mean, and literally saying, I am typing this through tears. And this one was not even an older one. This is one with an autoimmune disease that it was like, I mean, has taught forever. You know, Daniel, I am typing this through tears. as I pray through, I don't know what I can tell you because I don't know what it's going to look like. And then, yeah, I mean, we're going to kind of going through our list of volunteers and kind of writing ages out to the side to see, you know, like what is our percentage? Because I would say in kids, we probably have 40% that are over that 60, and in preschool, probably 50 to 60%. And yeah. I don't want to put them in a position, you know, that they're uncomfortable with. I want to respect them. I want them to bring their gifts, but I want to do the right thing in this. So it's been really difficult because also we don't know what it is exactly going to look like. So we're saying, are you coming back? To we don't know what, you know, exactly. Yeah, right. You know, so we're trying to shape that right now.
Well, so where do you begin with that? So it sounds like you're going through, you're taking your first step, and that may be a good tip for our listeners to review your list.
Right.
And
yeah.
kind of try to go through and take a first pass at who might or might not be available.
Absolutely. And Chuck, you know me well enough to know that I'm probably a better talker than listener. And I got some incredible advice yesterday. And, you know, somebody was like, yeah, you can talk, but how are you listening? So, and that's what I feel like. I think I have been so heads down. We got to get stuff done this summer that I haven't taken the time to listen that I need to. So we're putting together like a reopening strategy team of some of our investors and key medical people, you know, first responders, safety people, and we're going to listen to them, not only in a survey, but on a Zoom call, which we're all tired of, but that's how we're doing it, right? And then yeah. I've put together a list of what I'm calling kind of our core, our pandemic core. They may not have been our core during, but we've been doing a lot of stuff with kids ministry digitally over the summer, and they're the ones we're seeing all summer. So, and to kind of ask them, like, what are you feeling? Like, and not just about starting back, but how can we partner better with you spiritually? But how likely are you to come back? You know, what do you need to see from my team? You know, how can we serve you to where you'll feel comfortable sending your child? So I'm got to learn to shut my mouth a little bit and listen. So that July, my job is to listen, Chuck.
That's good advice. That's good. And I think a lot of us are that way, you know, especially us high energy people.
Right.
And we're talkers and we're goers and we're movers
and
shakers.
We're fixers.
A lot of people.
Yeah.
Yes, right. A lot of people in kids ministry are wired that way.
Right.
But it's a good word that we need to sometimes slow down and listen. Okay. So now that you've listened, or as you will be listening,
yeah.
since we're talking about what's about to happen. After the listening, then what? When someone does approach you and say, listen, you know, I want to be there, but I just don't know if I'm comfortable or I'm uncomfortable. What do you say to those people? Because obviously they may still be members of our teams in the future. There just may be a season where that's not practical. How do you respond to those?
Well, I think we've got to value those people. I think some of my favorite, do I play favorites? No. But some of just, I guess, the neat ministry highlights I've seen this summer are some of my investors or just a senior adult woman. As soon as this all hit, they emailed me and said, Danielle, what can I do? And I said, you can call all of our special needs families and pray for those mamas over the phone. You know, the kids that have kids with disabilities or children with special needs. And she did. She's like, I can do that from my home. So I think we've got to value them and find them other ways to serve. So maybe they can't be there, but maybe they're not comfortable, maybe medically or age, or maybe they're just not comfortable. I am okay. I want to respect that and say, okay, then can you shepherd for me through cards, through calls, you know, to still build that community? Because let's be honest, Chuck, I don't think everybody's going to blow through right as soon as the doors open, you know, so there's still going to be people that we don't want to lose connection with out there. So how can we find them other ways? Because it's all about relationship and they can build that through other ways. So
that's right. Well, if there's anything that we've learned during this whole process, it's that we don't have to be in the same space to continue to build relationship, to deepen connection, to mentor, and to minister.
Right.
We can do all of those things through Zoom or on the phone or through some other, even writing cards.
Yes.
My son has every single week, his Sunday school teacher from our little church has sent him something in the mail every week
that's
since
amazing.
COVID started.
And,
it's an
and
activity
they
page,
have no clue
it's a
how,
note.
Yeah.
And that's so meaningful. That's something that you can do even if you can't be present
right.
for a season. What a great idea to not just say it's all or nothing,
right.
but to say we can find some way that you can continue to serve.
Right.
I love that.
And I think I've watched just prayer be such an important part. I mean, drop by the kids' house and pray. I mean, one of the things we've learned, I think the most from our kids on Zoom calls and stuff this summer, our kids are worried, they're confused, they're stressed. I mean, the prayer time has been a highlight for me with these kids on a Zoom call this summer. So yeah. I think we underestimate prayer. It's probably my least spiritual discipline that I don't give, you know, the much to, but I think so we need to have that alternative list of here's some other ways you can serve.
Yeah, great. And I think part of that, one of the things we can put on that category is investing in parents. You know, we know a lot of parents find themselves on the front lines now of trying to be the homeschool teacher and the Sunday school teacher and all the things that they normally do. And so if we can figure out how we can connect some of our more advanced or experienced leaders with parents to coach them, what a great thing.
Yes, such a win.
Okay. So let's say, though, that we do have some who can't be present, and we do need to have adult leaders present in order for us to meet again. You were talking about just some of the formulas about how many people fit in a room. Yeah. Can you recap some of those things that you were talking about?
Okay, Chuck, you know me well enough to know I'm not your detail girl, right? I'm your big picture. I'm your high energy. So details are hard for me. I did learn a long time ago to surround myself with people that are detail people. So if you're like
Which
me out
wise.
There, yeah, and you're not a detail person, you need to get a team around you. Thankfully, I have that and Meg Brown and others. But one of the first things that we got was a document. Actually, it just came yesterday in our email. Of all of our rooms on campus and using the 35 square feet per person, I can see how many people can go in each room. And I mean, I'm looking at some of these numbers and it's like 10. And I'm like, okay, well, if I do child protection of two unmarried people, if I have a married, that's a third, I can maybe have 8 to 7 kids in a room. Mm. And so that means I need more rooms. I'm looking at, do we need to do reservations so we can know when people are coming back? I don't know if we'll do it, Chuck. One of the ideas that I kind of really like right now is what if we did a season of intergenerational I'm first through fifth grade. You can do that in first through fifth grade. You can do that in students. Preschool, that's harder. And I get that. But yeah, do a reservation for a, hey, I need you to teach in this room and you're going to have 8, you know, first through fifth graders. I don't know, but just come so that we fill up those rooms and open them as need be. So, yeah, we're gathering all that. We're seeing, do we add an hour? Cause we're out of rooms,
yeah.
But we're also holding that up. But at the same time holding up, okay, we've got to keep safety and security and child protection. So it's a lot to think through. So that's where the stress comes in because, and I talked to we call it Hearts and Hands, our special needs coordinator today, and she's just brilliant. And I was like, let's pull some research too on mentally what's happening to our kids during this time. Cause you know, and how are we going to meet them? You know, because you know, they're stressed. They're going to go back in school systems that are going to probably look different possibly. Yeah. And that's going to be stressful. So we're kind of, cause I feel like sometimes we're forgetting the kids, you know, and that even me sometimes, okay, I got to get this all set up, you know, procedurally and safety and, you know, but then it's like, let's talk about their heart and their head and how they're feeling right now. So.
Well, and so we're hearing also that, so first of all, yes, all those things, creative solutions to an unusual situation that we're addressed with. And I think that says a lot right there is we need to look at things like, it's almost like, so I have on the wall of my office, I have a world map that's upside down. It's actually an upside down map where it's printed that way. So the text is right side up, but you just don't look at the world that way. We're in a place where we need to stand on our heads a little bit and kind of look at everything from a new perspective and begin with the end in mind. What is the goal?
Right.
And so, as you said, the goal is we need to be tuned into the hearts of our children so that we can meet them where they are and walk with them. So we need to listen. Yep. Got it. We also need to start looking at things differently because we probably can't do it the way we've always done it.
No.
And for some people, I think that could be paralyzing.
Yes. But I mean, the good thing is this is kind of shaking us up. So now I love that. I'm with you. Like, please give me a challenge to look at some, but some of you listening may be like, that is freaking my world out. And I get that because I respect you because you're probably an awesome detail person. But,
that's right.
But this, if anything, this time has caused us to see, I mean, one of my greatest wins from our VBS that was digital is, we were the church outside the church in a big way,
yes.
You know, during VBS. So yes, we've got to turn that up and look at that a lot differently. And if you're like me, I'm having to lead up. I don't make the ultimate decision, you know? So a lot of you are sitting out there and you're like, I've been told, you know, and I've got to make so-and-so happen. And how do I do that? So I think with this listening and this information, we've got to lead up and say, here's what our families are saying, though. Here's what our volunteers are saying. And here's what we, here's how we want to meet their needs best. So
I've heard it from a creative point of view. So my background is as a creative professional working in media. And so one of the things as creatives that I think is the most inspiring, or at least the most challenging, we generally tend to say we need to think outside the box.
Right.
But the truth is, we are most creative when we have to come up with a solution inside a box.
Right.
And so we're set up with really limited parameters and we have to find a solution. And that's really where we find ourselves.
Right.
Thinking outside of the box really is not what we're talking about. We're talking about we have very narrow constraints and we need a solution that fits within what we can do.
Right.
I think part of that for me is trying to look at the situation not as what can't we do, because it's so easy for us to want to do what we've done and be like, oh, I can't do that. Oh, we can't do that. I wanted this, but we can't do that. And instead say, okay, what can we do?
Right.
And when we can start to change our focus towards away from the things that we're just not able to do and mourn over those things, and instead look at, okay, but we could do this
right.
and we can do that. That can be invigorating.
It can. And I think it brings us back to why we do what we do, you know, and I don't want to give the Sunday school answer, but I mean, the gospel didn't stop this summer. You know, it didn't. It was gone in creative ways. So we've got nothing is stopping us from sharing that. We're just going to have to be creative of how we get that done. And that's where the challenge is. But if we, like I said earlier, we've got to surround ourselves with people that, you know, we're a big Enneagram team, you know, and I'm a 7. And when we hired somebody new, my whole team goes, we do not need another you. And I took that as a compliment. I don't think that's how it was meant. But, you know, we've got to surround ourselves, whether it's paid staff or other volunteer staff, with people that are not, because we've looked at it the same way for so long. We need some people to come at us and go, you know, I've got a young teacher that's like, Danielle, I can't do centers. She's a school teacher. So I need her input because she's having to rethink that from her classroom to how, you know, how do we rethink a classroom at church, you know? And she's smarter than me in that area.
Well, we also need to surround ourselves with people that are smarter than us.
All the time.
That's one of my keys to success.
Long.
Yes, exactly. But we may very well find ourselves where we do have a shortage of adult leaders. You know, we struggle all the time to have enough volunteers who fit the role that we need to fill.
Right.
But we may be in a place now where we really cannot call upon the most qualified, and we may have to come up with another solution for how to fill the slots we need for volunteers to maintain those best practices for safety
right.
and the security of the kids. So what are you thinking in terms of that? How are you going to fill those roles with new people, and how do we need to be training up or preparing new volunteers? Do you recruit them saying, hey, this is a short term thing? What's your thinking around filling some of those slots just during the crisis?
Okay, Chuck, we all know there's never like a waiting list to serve in children's and preschool ministry, right? You know, there's just not. And if I've said it once this week, I've said it 3 times. Yes, but have you ever recruited for children's and preschool? It's just different. It's different than any other age that has to be recruited for. Mm-hmm. So I think one of the things, I know one group in our church that is just chomping. They're over this. They are, you know, ready is our young professionals, that, you know, single young professionals. How can we pull them in? And not to, like, hopefully they get a chance to rise up and then they're there when the whole wave comes back, you know, so we're building up, you know, a team. So when then it does come back, so, you know, we're looking at them, some of our college students, you know, as they, you know, come back, you know, I looked at one of our college interns today over Zoom and I was like, you may be teaching both hours. And she's like, I'm ready.
All right.
So,
yeah, that's great.
And I may be teaching both hours and I am okay with that. It's hard for me on Sunday not to be in the classroom. So, but yeah, I think some of these younger generations maybe that don't have the kids and the family attached right now, this is a great way to say, hey, this is when you can step up and be the hero to some families that are absolutely exhausted and stressed out, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. And so, you know, I often say that VBS is one of those things that's an opportunity to onboard new leaders, new volunteers. You need so many more of them.
Right.
And it's easy with something like VBS to say, well, maybe you can be a greeter, or you can serve in the parking lot, or you can help with snacks.
Right.
And those are easy ways to kind of introduce people. Could this be an opportunity like that to kind of find new people?
Absolutely. Some of my best investors are people that subbed. You know, because they didn't want to do it full time because, oh, I can't do that. And then they subbed and they were like, That was so fun. I mean, I have one. Chuck is not paying me to say this. We use the Gospel Project. I have one couple in second grade that they're like, I'm never.
Gospelproject.com.
Yes. Yeah. Okay, and they're like, I'm never going back to an adult class because I've learned more in second grade,
for sure.
You know, for the past 5 or 10 years. So yeah, I think you get them in there and they see if they can do it. Now, if it's not a fit, let's don't be crazy, but I think we all know that. But, and they can see, I can do this. I can use my gifts with these kids. These kids need me. And then maybe they do stick around, you know?
Yeah. So what do you look for when you're looking to kind of fill in some gaps with people that you wouldn't normally pursue? What sort of things might you look for in a person that you would want to approach?
You know, I think about one couple when you say that in our group. They are, they started out doing just a special event with us. And young, married, no kids, and they just love kids. She's a nurse. He's actually quit his job to go back to be a teacher. And they are so popular with our kids. We use them in our VBS videos because the kids love them. So they had just a heart to be with the kids. They were, you know, relational. And so, you know, I'm looking for people that maybe have the time. Because, you know, like you said earlier, our parents are homeschooling, they're working from home, they're parenting and everything else. And if they want to serve, absolutely, I'm going to do it. But I'm also looking for people that have a little bit more time. But I also think for us as the leaders, we've got to make it as easy as we can when they come back, because they're coming back from a season of overloaded. So we've got to have them the lessons. I want to have them all the supply. Like right now, I will work overtime if you will just come in and teach, so that they're not seeing that as a, even our returnees, you know, a burden to come back. But hey, we're going to serve you by making this as, I'm not easy. I hate that word because I think it's a fun challenge to teach kids, but as the process easy, you know, like you're not going to go looking for stuff. We're going to have it right there for you. We just want you to know that truth, that lesson, and come in and teach. So I think that's one thing we can give, whether they're veterans or newbies coming in.
Something you mentioned earlier, I think is key in this area is relationship. You know, when someone approaches you and says, hey, would you teach this class? That sounds intimidating. That sounds like I need to have a Bible degree, or I need to be really well versed and able to answer every question. But if the ask is, hey, we want you to come in and connect with these kids.
Right. Oh, that's a good word, connect.
Yeah. So that's a little bit of a different ask, isn't it?
Yes. And I think it takes, like you said, it takes that. I'm going to use that, Chuck. I'm going to use that as my, but I love that too. Cause, and I think we have to tell the stories. Hey, listen, what's happening in these rooms. You know, that's what we early on in the summer, like we were emailing our visitors and we're like, hey, 3 kids have accepted Christ. And one mom stopped me, she saw me on the road, you know, 6 feet apart. And she said, my family would have never got to pray with our child. It had it not been the quarantine, we got to be there. But I want to still share those wins. So these new people, hey, this is not your job to save these kids. It's none of our job. Right. You know, we need you to come in and just connect. I love that. And open up truth. If you don't know the answer, say you don't know the answer. I have to say that all the time. But say you'll research and come back. But yeah, I don't want us to think we're lowering the bar. I think we've got to creatively ask, like you said. Just come in. These kids are thirsty for connection right now.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think we all are, you know, we've all been so isolated, especially those of us who are extroverts, you know, we're missing people time. I know the introverts out there are saying, do we really have to go back?
I know.
But for many people, there is a longing to be able to be together with others in real space and in real time.
Absolutely.
And to have real interactions. And so I think that's a great thing.
And as an extrovert, I get that. I'm probably will scare people as we come back, and I have an extroverted daughter, and we stand in our yard and just wave and talk to people because it's like, we miss people, you know? So yes, people need that. And the introverts, they need it. They just want it differently, I think, you know?
Well, you know, it's really about where you get your energy, right?
Right.
Are you fueled up or are you depleted by those interactions?
Right.
But we all need those interactions.
Sure.
We are, right? We're not to forsake the gathering together. And so one of my prayers is that we would not only have the opportunity to regather, of course, it's all based on federal, state, and local guidelines and what your church is doing. We want to do everything within the rules. But we need our desire, our goal has to be finding out how we can continue to stay connected, to build those relationships.
And I love that you said that, because as our team early on in the summer, or God, was it summer? No, it was way before summer all this happened. March. I remember we talked, as we talk and do fun things, we want to continually say to the kids, but this sure isn't as good as being together, is it? Oh, this may have been a neat thing, but this sure isn't, you know, and y'all, this was fun, but God called us to gather together. So we've tried to be very intentional in that. And we're going to send a big We Miss You postcard out this month to all the kids with all our face. But and on that, we'll say, we can't wait, because we don't want, well, I can watch that online and I'm done. No, that's not as good. And that's not, we're called to gather together. So with kids, we try to be real intentional with that language that, you know, we can't wait for that day, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, Danielle, thank you so much for talking. We could go on forever. We have such a great, I have a great time.
I always have interacting fun with you.
Yeah, it's fun. I love your energy and your passion. It just all comes through. So thank you for what you're doing. And
one day at a time.
For you as you guys regather.
Thank you.
Yeah, great. Say hi to our friend Meg Brown from Centra Kid fame. We miss Meg.
We will do it. We will do it.
We're glad that she's there with you. Yeah. Listeners, thank you for tuning in. Hey, I want to encourage you, as you're reopening and you're looking for some ideas on how to approach that, we have a free ebook made by the Lifeway Kids team that you can find at lifeway.com/6considerations. lifeway.com/6considerations. That's a free ebook you can download and check out. And it gives you some ideas on some things you need to think about as you look to regather. One of those is volunteers. And so it's so important, as Danielle said, that we kind of take an assessment of who we will have and who we may not, and start to think now about the help that we may need. And so we hope that this conversation has been encouraging and that you're leaving inspired with some new ideas so you can go out and continue to do what you do to serve the kids and families in your community. Thank you, Danielle.
Thank you.
And thank you, listeners. We'll see you back again next time for another episode of the Kids Ministry 101 podcast.